Amen. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
God,
amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment that Brother Sam, Brother Max, and Brother Jose, all of us could come into thy presence by the grace of God. Yes, Father, by the blood of Jesus that thou hast shed for us, by the power of the Holy Spirit that thou hast bestowed on us. You chose us, Lord. We didn't choose you. We could have ended up in the lake of fire. But we were like that one sheep that strayed away from the 99. And you left the 99 and came after us, Father. You clothed us. You strengthened us. You washed us. You healed us. You empowered us and anointed us, Father, and put a crown of righteousness and gave us the royal robe to be called kings and priests, Father. And as we come into thy presence, Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify you. We cast our crowns before thy throne, Lord, and kneel down before thee. For you're worthy of worship. You're worthy of worship as the heavenly beings, Lord, circle around the throne and dance around the throne and cry out with voices like thunder, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, 24/7 as they worship you, Lord. We know you're in control. We know you have the power. And Lord, we think about the astronauts that went to the moon and looked at the earth far away, just the size of a football, beautiful blue, and they could see the countries of this world, Father. We see how what a great God, what a marvelous God you are. We are in this little galaxy called the Milky Way, and there are millions and millions of galaxies and trillions of suns, and the universe is so vast, and you created them all by thy word. You said, come forth, and they came forth. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're not only our God, but our Father, and we can call you our Father. Lord, as we come to thy presence, we want to know what our Heavenly Daddy, our Father, wants us to know. Speak to us. Let the Father's voice once again speak in our midst as we walk with thee and move with thee. As thy voice sounded in the garden, as thy voice sounded on Calvary, as thy voice sounded on the mountain, as thy voice sounded on the day of Pentecost, speak to us, Father. As thy coming draws near, help us to be found without spot or wrinkle or anything as the glorious church. For in Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This afternoon I was praying to the Lord and I was asking him, what about all the chaos in USA and all over the world? They want to bring a one world ruler and inscribe on everyone the mark of the beast and abolish Christianity and establish a one world religion, a one world currency, a one world without borders. What about all this going on, Lord? And what about the USA, all the chaos that is happening now? Somebody asked me whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I said, neither. I'm a Christian. And I was reflecting, why did I answer like that? And then I remember the angel of the Lord that appeared to Joshua before he won the battle at Jericho. And Joshua asked the angel, are you for our enemies or are you for us? And the angel of the Lord said, neither. The word nay means neither. Neither am I for you nor am I for your enemies. But as the captain of the Lord's host, I have come. I will do what the Lord tells me to do, not what man tells me to do. And that's why they got mad with Jesus. Brother Sam was reflecting how Jesus said he's going to come in the clouds of glory and that he was the Messiah, and they called it blasphemy. The main thing, amen, that's absolutely true. The main thing that Jesus said is, I can do nothing of myself, but what I see the Father do, that will I do. My Father worketh hitherto, and I will work. And he referred to the Father so much that they said he probably is out of his mind. He keeps talking about his father so much. Even we don't talk about our father. He keeps talking about his father. He says he observes his father. He looks at his father. He will do exactly what his father. He says, my meat is to do the will of my father that sent me and to finish his work. And then it began to dawn on me that sometimes we have a tendency to look at our situation. You know, there's a lot of things happening. They say China is going to overthrow the US as soon as the inauguration is done. There's all kinds of rumors, wars. There's so many different things going on. They say the Pope is going to be the Antichrist and he's going to take over the world. They say they're going to go ahead and mandate the vaccines and a lot of people are going to die. They say they are going to join the climate accord in Paris. With all these things that are going on, what exactly is going on, Lord? And Lord, we pray that you would manifest your power. Many people will be saved in the US. You will send a great revival. You will give us the freedom of worshiping thee in spirit and in truth in USA and all over the world. And I think the Lord was very patient as I was praying with him, and he said, turn to Psalm 34, please. And then I turned to Psalm 34, verse number 5, and the Bible says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Why look unto him? Why not try to solve the problems that we have? I mean, God has given us wisdom. God has given us brains. Why can't we try to solve our problem? I remember once when I did something when I was a kid, I thought that I could fix my alarm clock by adding coconut oil. That would sound very silly, but I thought it was rusted and I could add coconut oil. So when I opened my alarm clock and added coconut oil, it was an old technology. The whole spring got released and it shot out of that little box. And I was thinking, I should have just left it alone. I thought that could fix it. Now, that's an example, but a lot of times in our lives, we try to fix our problems. And number one, the reason we try to fix our problems is because our problems are making us worry. And because we have worries, we are burdened. A wife says, go do something, fix it, call the bank, get a loan, get a job, try to do this, update your resume, go do this, go do that, go fix your car. Maybe you can fix it. Or go to the YouTube video and figure out how to rebuild your transmission. Do something. You can't be just sitting there worrying about it. We always tend to read the owner's manual after one of the legs in the chair we bought from Walmart is pointing in the wrong direction. What did I do wrong? Well, we just didn't read the owner's manual. The owner's manual says, before you call the bank, before you do your resume, before you try to find out whether you have cancer, before you do this, before you do the COVID-19 test, why don't you look unto him first? Sometimes even solving the problem may not be the right thing to do because God might have sent the problem so that he would fulfill his greater plan. King Nebuchadnezzar built a huge statue that was taller than the trees. It was so tall, and he said, when you hear the sound of music, everyone needs to bow down. Now, there's a problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were assistants of Daniel, and they were in a very high position. Now, they could have said, well, here's the problem. Let's go talk to the king and explain to him the situation. And maybe we can kind of negotiate with him and let him know that we'll just stand and look at the statue because we are not supposed to bow down. We'll look at it. We'll open our eyes and look at it. Maybe that'll keep him happy. We just can't bow down because Exodus 20, they didn't want to compromise. They didn't want to negotiate with the king. No negotiation, no compromise. The king said, why are you three not bowing down? They said, we will not bow down to you because the Bible says, thou shalt worship the Lord and him only shalt thou serve. And we will not bow to your statue, O king. Neither will we bow to you. And the king was really mad. Okay, last chance, guys. One more time. Everybody play the flute, the music. One more time. Sound the trumpet. Okay, bow down. Everybody in the world, bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were erect. And the king said, I gave you a last chance. There is no more chance. I'm going to throw you in the fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't care. Our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But if he doesn't, we will offer our lives as a sacrifice to obey the word of Almighty God. And we know what happened. He threw them in the fire. The guys who threw them in the fire got burnt. And Jesus walked with them because they refused to look at the golden statue and their eyes were on God, the Creator, who was seated on the throne. They were worshiping him. David and Goliath. Everybody looked at Goliath. They chickened out. Man, he was tall. Goliath was actually about 10 feet tall. I kind of calculated how it would have been if I had seen Goliath, and it was terrible. How high he was, how big he was. And David, a little boy, about 4.5 feet tall. And this Goliath comes charging after him. Everybody has run for their lives. And Goliath said, with all my training, I get this stupid boy to fight with who thinks I'm a dog. Okay. I'm going to toss you to the fowls of heaven. The ravens are going to eat your flesh. And David said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, whose armies thou hast defied. So we see a common character in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see a common character in David. David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked unto God who is on the throne. And Goliath fell down with a thud. He was dead because David looked unto the Father and swung his stone and it went into Goliath's forehead. We see situation after situation after situation in the Bible where people refused to do what was logical and asked the Lord first, what do you want us to do? Joshua, he won a great victory. Now he's in the jungle in a foreign country, doesn't know what kind of animals, what kind of beasts, what kind of route there is. How is he going to spend the night in the jungle? The victory that happened during daylight is going to get vanquished and all Israel is going to be wiped out by their enemies. Well, he could have asked the warriors. He could have probably tried to ask for night vision goggles. He could have done so many things. He could have told his people, okay, let's all climb up the tree because we don't know, we are in a country that out in the woods, we don't know what exactly is going to happen in the evening. But Joshua did nothing of that. He looked unto God. He said, God, what do I do now? The Bible says, then Joshua prayed unto the Lord. You know, in our situation, there is no point in worrying. If we ask the Lord, he will give the solution. instead of assuming that we know the solution, we need to ask God. God said, Joshua, go tell the sun and the moon to stop so that you'll have daylight till you complete the battle. Yes, Joshua actually talked to the sun. Does the sun hear the voice of a man? This was not an ordinary man. This was a man that heard from God. This was a man that was looking unto God. And as Joshua was looking unto God, God gave him the answer to his problem. Joshua did not worry. If you look at the saints in the Bible, there's no situation that we see that they were worried about anything. They were a little surprised, but they went to the Lord and they said, Lord, this is a situation that I haven't encountered. What do you do? And God stopped the sun and the moon. Jehoshaphat. God said, oh, Jehoshaphat, don't do what you usually do. Since you looked up unto me, what you need to do is just call the choir, call the orchestra. We need a guy that plays bass really good. Need the bass guitar, the lead guitar, the chords. We need the keyboard too. And also get the drummer. Also need a good trumpet. Everyone needs to be able to be skilled. And we need the people that sing, the alto, the soprano. And Jehoshaphat could have asked, Lord, you really are the Lord, right? Yes, I am. Usually they go to battle with the sword and the spear and the sling. No, that wasn't Jehoshaphat. He said, you want the choir to go first? Okay, that's fine. That's the Lord. They started singing. They started praising. And the enemy was vanquished. You know, God's ways to solve problems are really different from man's ways. Problems and challenges typically come because the enemy knows we are children of God and he's attacking us. The solution is not in the flesh. The solution is in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Whether it is the presidency, whatever it is, when a man of God kneels down to pray. Leonard Ravenhill once said, Satan trembles, Satan staggers, Satan passes out when he sees the weakest saint kneeling down to pray. Today, the focus is on having meetings and finding solutions, discussions. That's all good. But prayer is out. No prayer in schools, no prayer in Congress, no prayer in the Supreme Court, no prayer in government, no prayer. And then when something goes wrong, is there a God? Why did he let that happen? Well, what happened? You took God out of school, you took God out of national anthem, you took God out of the dollar, you took God out of everything. And God, being a gentleman, left. And now people ask, why did it happen? Well, he already left. He packed his bags and left. Well, now if you want him back, you'll have to kneel down, repent from your sins, and call him back. They looked unto him. Typical example of how humans behave. There is a storm. The one who created the water, the one who created the wind, the one who created human beings, the one who created the material of the wood and the living creatures in the ocean is in the boat. They didn't ask him. They were trying to solve their problem. It got worse and worse and worse. And then he said, what are you doing in the backside of the boat? Don't you care that we perish? Come and help us. Come and help us row really fast. Come and help us fix the sails. Jesus said, that's not the solution to your problem. He raised his hand and said, peace, be still. And the water settled down. The wind settled down. And they fell down and knelt before him and said, What kind of man are you? He said, I am man. I am God in the flesh. I am Almighty God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He walked with us for 33 years or so, so he can make us understand that we need to look at him in our problems first and not try to solve it. Martha and Mary decided, if Jesus came and Lazarus was sick, our problem will be solved. If Lazarus dies, it's too late. They'd given up. Jesus said, look at me. Look at me. I am God. Your brother will rise again. Remove that stone. They said, well, wait a minute, he'll stink. He said, look at me. I am God. Listen to me. Move that stone. God's solution to our problems is not logical like we think. So what happens when we look unto God? Psalm 34:5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Two things happen when we look unto God. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, be careful, do not be worried about anything, but in every supplication, add thanksgiving. Don't serve your food without salt. Add thanksgiving and pray to God, and the worries will go away, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As soon as we pray, it doesn't mean that our problems will go away. But what Jesus is saying is, the problem is not external to you. The problem is internal to you. There might be a storm outside, but the bigger problem is that there is a storm inside your body, soul, and spirit. That storm needs to settle down. And so when we look unto God in our problems, we become light. I remember when I prayed with so many problems, I went to God, and sometimes I felt so light that I thought I would fly away into the sky. That light, it's not the bright light, but it is the lightness that we need in the presence of God to do what we need to do to move forward. Planes cannot fly in the sky when you load them with all kinds of junk. That's why they say travel light. The first thing that happens when we wait upon the Lord, that's why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, that look unto the Lord, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will be lightened. That's why the eagles, when they see a storm, they use the wind of the storm to glide above the storm. The same way in all our problems and challenges and worries. First, we need to get lightened by looking unto the Lord. Next, because we do not know what the pathway is, we need to be enlightened by the power of Almighty God. We tell the Lord, Lord, it's so dark. Can you shine the light? Then God replies, no, I'm not going to shine the light. Why don't you become the light? And that's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory unto glory. When Moses talked to the Lord, his face started shining. There was a light coming from him. When we speak to Jesus, our whole body is lightened, not our face alone. And we start shining the light, and we see the light. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We are eagles. Mm-hmm. We need to soar like eagles. We need to rise up with our Bibles. We need to stop acting like little bugs that crawl on this planet. We need to stop acting like beetles, tired, worn, and feeble. We need to fly high above the sky, beyond the moon, straight to the throne of God. Ephesians 2 says, we have been raised from this earth to be seated together with heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless these words. And as in Psalm 34:5, help us to join with the saints, the heroes of faith, and look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption is near and our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let's travel light. Let's look up at Jesus and let us become the light and shine the light and bring many souls to the throne of God before we get raptured into his presence as his bride. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us offer our